Luke, the second chapter. Last night, we had about the same kind of crowd. It was incredible last night, Christmas Eve, wonderful time. And so we appreciate you coming out this morning. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read through the entire Christmas story down to verse 14 and then jump into a quick message. I know you've got Christmas plans to get underway, and we're not going to hold you back, but we do want to honor the Lord today, first and foremost. Let's begin in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, singing and praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would, God, help us today to pause for a moment and to think about the message of this day. As we have gathered ourselves to begin our Christmas festivities together as families, that you would help us to remember just what it is that you did for us and why it is that this day is such a wonderful day for us to remember. Draw us to your side today, and we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I appreciate, by the way, all the men in uniform today. Stand up if you're in uniform here today, and let us see you. Brother John, that counts you. We have police officers. We have military all around. So let's give them a hand and thank them for what they do. Thank you, men. Thank you. Appreciate it. God bless you. And we are so thankful for the duties that you perform for our nation. I start there because I want us to catch this first thing that is declared. Look at verse 10, if you would, again. The angel said unto them, what is the first thing that the angel says? Fear not. How many of you are aware that there is an alert out this morning? Churches are in danger this morning. ISIS has said they're going to attack churches in the United States of America. And I would just remind you of the first message that the angel gave to the shepherds on this day, this Christmas time that we celebrate. Fear not. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So don't get caught up in it. And I'm just thankful we have men like this and ladies too that are, you know, supporting our military and doing all that work. And what a great thing. We appreciate that. But folks, our security does not rest in our military. No, and I'm thankful for all that they do. Our security does not rest with our police officers. I'm thankful for all that they do. But we have a power that is much greater than any military might that any human beings could put together. We have a God in heaven who's watching over us. And that God starts out this Christmas message, and I did not know that this ISIS thing was coming when I'm looking at this message, but God 2,000 years ago started this out. Fear not. But the reason that he says fear not in this particular statement is because the shepherds have no idea what is about to happen. And they're about to encounter something brand new, and that's what we want to look at here. As it looks, fear not. So let's keep going in verse 10. For behold, I bring you, what is the next thing that he says? For I bring you what? Good tidings. Hey, this is good news. Are you listening? We have good news for you today. I don't want you to be depressed and discouraged. That's what God says. This is good news because something great is about to happen. And by the way, that is still good news for you and I today, because that good news is that none of us have to fear eternity, because God has made a way for you and I to accept Jesus Christ our Savior, have our sin debt paid for, and know for certain, not hope, know that we are on our way to heaven. These things, the Bible says, have I written unto you to believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's what God has done. And so this is great news. In fact, it's such good news. Because think about this. If I were going to pay for my own sin, if I were going to try to come up with enough money that would be worth equal in value to the life and death of the sinless Son of God, how much money would that be? You couldn't put it all together. And by the way, that God already has all the money. Right? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Everything is already his. So what am I going to offer this God that would take care of my sin debt? Okay, so I can't offer money. So I'm going to try to do some really good things to take care of my sin debt. What thing would be good enough, since my sin is requires the death of a sinless sacrifice? What could I do that would equal that? I can't. The angel says to the shepherds, listen, I've got some good news for you. Because the God in heaven who knew that you could not, in your wildest imagination, pay for your own sin debt, the good news is I have provided the lamb. Do you remember Abraham of old, about to sacrifice his own son on the altar? And God stops him and says, no, Abraham, I will provide the lamb. And that's what God has done. And the angel says, I've got some good news. And this ought to wipe out all fear. This ought to be something you don't need to be afraid of. Good news is what he brings. And then he goes on to say this. Not only is it good news, not only tidings of good tidings, but it's tidings of what? No. Not great joy. No. Miss Jan's sister's visiting with us back there, and the choir got done. She about came out of her seat. I said, hey, let's not get too excited back here. She's like, that was just so good. Yeah, great joy. It's like, get excited about what God has done. This is good tidings, and it's great joy. Because apart from this, until Christ came to this earth, the earth was covered in a darkness, a veil. There was no hope without Christ. None. It was literally the idea that all I have to look forward to is to die and spend eternity in hell. And if that's hanging over your head, it kind of takes away all of the joy from life. But God says, I've got some good news. And this good news is going to bring great joy. Because I'm going to lift that burden completely off and give you the opportunity to know your future in a new way. So the angel says, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And I want to point this next thing out. This is the angel still talking. Which shall be what? To all people. Hey, I didn't say it. Take up your argument with God. This shall be to all people. Because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the God that we have. You see, God doesn't just love us. He actually loves so much the ISIS people who are threatening churches that he sent his only begotten son so that they might have eternal life. Wow. What kind of God is this? It's a God that we cannot understand. This message is a new message. I mean, this is a radical understanding of what God has in store. As God is bringing this message to the Jewish people who kind of closed themselves in at this time in history to think that somehow, because they're the apple of God's eye, because they're the ones that God is using to bring the Messiah into this world, that somehow they're the only ones important. And they've misunderstood the message. And God says, I'm going to blow your mind today because I'm going to give you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And God is about to offer something that the Old Testament prophets imagined, dreamed about, hoped for. They knew it was coming, but they had never seen it. You and I have the wonderful privilege of looking back and knowing. And this is the message that is coming to these shepherds. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, and we're going to look at these three titles. First of all, a Savior, a Redeemer, a Deliverer. From what, by the way, do we need to be delivered? Sin and the bondage of sin, right? For the wages of sin is death, separation from God for all eternity. That's the payment for sin. Sin has devastated everything on this planet. The Bible literally says that nature groans under the payment of sin. I mean, imagine what this world was like before sin came in. I don't know what water, I know how good cold water tastes to my thirsty mouth and throat right now. Can you imagine what water untouched by sin would be like? Can you imagine if the children of Israel walked into a wicked place known as Canaan and found the grapes of Eshcol, where it took two men to carry a bunch of grapes from the grapes there? Those are grapes that had been touched by sin. What must this planet be like when it's no longer groaning under sin? And you and I, then, are burdened with sin. We are sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one on this planet, there's no one in this room that gets away from this. We've all sinned, and the burden of sin is upon us. But what Jesus is doing is coming as Savior, as the Deliverer, as the Redeemer. He is going to remove that burden of sin for all of those who will let him, for all who will ask him, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so he offers this wonderful gift. This is good tidings, great joy to all people. And it is the message of a Redeemer, of a Savior. But not only that, he goes on to say, there's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. That's his next title, the Messiah. This is the promised one. I can't remember the exact number, but there are over 100 prophecies specifically given to us about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And every one of them are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And the beginning of that fulfillment is what the angels are announcing. There is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Messiah, that one of old that God has promised since Genesis chapter 3, when the very first mention of Christ in the Bible, where God says yes to Satan, you might bruise man's heel, but God is going to send a man who will crush your head, and that is the Messiah. And from that very first mention, there are promises given to us about the Messiah. And for hundreds of years, the Old Testament people have been waiting and wondering and hoping. And the angel says, I have got some good news for you that ought to bring you great joy. Because today, my promises are being fulfilled. This is an exciting time. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be these shepherds? Which is Christ, and then he ends with this title, the Lord. And not only is he that Messiah of old, but this baby that is born in the city of David is the very God of heaven. He is God in flesh. We can't comprehend it. We can't. But this is what is happening. And the angel says, I do not want you to fear. I want instead for you to have great joy. I want you today to recognize that without Christ coming, without, can you imagine what Christmas would be like without the reality of Christmas? What if it was just a day we got together and exchanged gifts? Can I be so bold as to suggest that for some that's all it's become? And it becomes a hollow event. You know, you could do that anytime you wanted. You really can. But the angel says, I have some good news. Because this is a day like no other. And I'm well aware that this day was probably not December 25th. We've taken December 25th and we said, this is the day that we're going to remember and celebrate this event. But as you and I are gathering today, it ought to not just be a time of family get-together. It ought to be more than that. Because what we are celebrating are good tidings of great joy to all people. And that great joy to all people is a deliverer, is the Messiah, is the very God of heaven coming to rescue men from their plight. That's what we're celebrating today. And he ends there with then, it's an amazing thought, as he said, which is Christ the Lord. All of a sudden, in verse 13, and I don't know what this must have been like. I wonder what suddenly seems like when God is the one describing it. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? I mean, is there ever a sudden moment in God's economy? I mean, when I say suddenly, it means either I wasn't expecting it or it came sooner than I was expecting, faster than I expected. Well, God already has the expectation. So what is it like for the God of heaven to describe something as suddenly? I can't imagine that there's this angel talking to them, and in an instant, the heavens are filled with heavenly angels and voices, and I can't even fathom what it must have been like for those shepherds at this moment. How this must have overwhelmed, you know, how exciting it was to hear the choir just singing glory to God, and we're just, you know, we're all being caught up in it, and we're about to shout, and in heaven, we might actually do that, Baptist. We might actually shout every now and again. And wow, can you imagine what it was like for the heavenly hosts to burst out in song, singing glory to God? Now you say, wait a minute. I wonder why they were singing glory to God. And it is because only God could have ever met the requirement for my sin debt. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Collectively, we couldn't get the job done. We're stuck, dead in our trespasses and our sin, without hope, without help, nothing to look up to apart from a God who is willing to meet that need. And that's the message of Christmas. And all the heavenly hosts could do nothing more than to proclaim glory to God. But then he goes on to say these other two things. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I can understand the peace part somewhat. I know that because of salvation in Jesus Christ, not only can I have the peace of God that passes understanding, so that my heart is able to endure the difficulties of life, but it's beyond that. I have a peace with God. You see, when I'm a sinner and God is holy, sin and holiness cannot coexist. They are natural enemies. And if I'm a sinner and God is holy, that makes me the enemy of God, literally. So the Bible says. But when God takes care of my sin debt, Jesus literally says to the disciples, I don't just call you my servants. I call you my friend. God says that through salvation, we become his children. And so it's not just the peace of God that passes understanding, it's peace with God, Whereas moments before salvation, I was the enemy of God, and now I have peace with God. I'm a child of God. I belong to Him because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So on earth, peace. And then he says this last phrase, goodwill toward men. And can I just tell you something here? I believe that what the angels are proclaiming is the very heart of God. I don't understand why God loves us. I just know that he does. That we have a God in heaven whose desire is to have goodwill toward us. As a holy God, he can be nothing but the enemy of sin. He's holy. And holiness requires that sin be dealt with justly. But once sin is dealt with on the cross, it allows for God to do what he always has wanted to do, and that is to bless men. I don't know why. I don't. David didn't know why when he said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" I don't know why. It is that God's great desire is to bless humanity. I look around and I watch as humanity literally spits on God. That we turn our back on him. I know that God in heaven watched as his son was spit upon and beaten and crucified. But all of this was done that God might be able to exercise goodwill toward us. This is what God wants to do. His great desire is to bless his children. Oh, wow, this is not just any day. This is a day of good tidings, great joy to all people. And it ought not instill fear in us, but instead it brings about a peace with God. A good tidings from God. And that's what Christmas is. If you're here this morning and you've trusted Jesus Christ, my Savior, you know what we're talking about. You know what it is to have your burdens lifted. You know what it is to have the joy that passes understanding, the joy unspeakable and full of glory come into your life. What a great thing that God has done. You know that firsthand. And you can see the good tidings of great joy. But if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, can I, like the angel of old, give you some really good news? God loves you. So much so that he has provided a way for you to have peace with him, to know a Redeemer, a Savior, which is the Messiah of old, the very God of heaven. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.